on Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
Listen to this Democratic senator talking about the people we care about most. I can tell you what, it's not U.S. citizens.
So you are right that that has been the Democratic strategy for 30 years, maybe. And it has failed to deliver for the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country.
For the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country.
Today I'm going to sign a few executive orders to strengthen immigration system, building on the executive actions I took on day one to protect Dreamers. And to end the Muslim ban and to better manage our borders. I'm not making new law. I'm eliminating bad policy.
Of bold truth and excellence. You've just signed up for the WBR Army. Welcome aboard. This is the Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. We are thrilled to be with you. You know, this the conversation we're about to have. There are so many things that these men and women who have devoted the last 7-8 years of their lives to hating one man, to doing whatever they could do to derail him, to embarrass him, to imprison him, to smear him. I mean, they made up all sorts of stuff about him. They wiretapped him. They looked for stuff, and when they couldn't find anything, they had to freaking make it up. And then when that didn't work, they came up with the whole insurrection nonsense. It reminds me, I mean, think about what these people could be doing for us if they actually cared about this country. There are a lot of great slogans, a lot of great bumper sticker talk, not a lot of action. It's failure. 100% failure. If there was something that you and I could agree on that would have a fundamental, everlasting ripple effect positively on this country, it would be for us to sit down and have an honest conversation about education in this country. We would stop seeing children as money-making placeholders and instead see them as the seeds of the future. And in watching my own children grow, the value of that education is, I mean, it's breathtaking. And I'm going to start with just a quick story. I remember when my first two sons, my oldest two, we're in the sixth and the fourth grade, and a teacher at the elementary school got in touch with me. They go to a Catholic school, and this teacher called me and said, "Wendy, I'd like to talk to you about testing Jack for the gifted program, for the honors program." And I said, "Well, what an honors program is, but what does that involve?" And she said, "Well, if he tests in the spectrum of this parameter every Wednesday, when everybody else is at school, he hops on a bus and the bus takes him to this special location in the city of Pittsburgh. And they have this highly accelerated academy of advanced learning." Now, in my mind, could you imagine if that was everywhere? If that was the resource, if that was what education was in our country? Because it's not. And so I don't even think I asked my husband. I said, "Well, okay, we can certainly test him. We knew he was different, right?" And so I got a call the next day. They brought in somebody from the public school system. This is how it's got to go. Even though it's a Catholic school and this is a private charter academy, it was funded by the Pittsburgh Public School District. So Jack got in. Now, that's my fourth grader. I have a sixth grader, right? And I'm like, "Well, you know, you've got to test the sixth grader too. You have to test Michael." And this is a real, like, roll the dice. They're both very bright. What if Michael doesn't make it? what do I do? Well, how do you manage that? So I'm sweating for like 24 hours. I'm like, ah, I could have thrown up when I knew the test was. Person from the public schools comes back in, sits down with Michael, does the test. Thank goodness he makes it too. So for the better part of a school year, they and two or three other kids at this entire Catholic school hopped on this little bus on Wednesday mornings and off they went to some special curriculum. They got to choose at the ages of like 11 and 9, the classes that they were interested in. They got to do everything from robotics and chemistry, 9 years old, to writing screenplays and doing really interesting artistic things. People from all walks of life, all different kinds of folks, from every zip code. Until one day, about a year later, things in the public school system got so haywire, the financing dried up. How? I don't know. And the first thing they pulled was this gifted program. And the bus stopped coming. My kids remember that to this day. They remember those classes. They remember those teachers. They remember being excited about education. Perhaps the only time they were ever excited about education was on Wednesday, because they were going to get on that little bus and they were going to go somewhere where they were treated like grown-ups and they did grown-up things and they talked about grown-up stuff. And then it went away. If we would focus on something meaningful, caring for our children, making sure that every child has access to a state-of-the-art, top-notch education that is devoid of politics and sway, but rather opening doors, unlocking chapters of knowledge, unleashing unknown potential, and planting seeds in kids from every zip code. That's how you begin the path towards making America great again. But what do we have instead? We have elected leaders who have failed us for decades, and still they're voted back into office again and again and again. And one of them is Jamie Raskin from Maryland. I mean, I don't think you could be more dangerous as a constitutional scholar and a completely deranged, triggered Trump-hating man. It's a very dangerous beaker to have over the open flame, don't you think? So yesterday, moments after the Supreme Court drops this thing and says, hey, is that supposed to be on, Brock? You see the video on the screen? Moments after the Supreme Court drops this verdict yesterday, 9-0. Hey, stop trying to fiddle with the names on the ballots. The only way that can be done is through Congress. Jamie Raskin comes out of the shadows, and he's been working on this, apparently. Just what Greg Gutfeld said. They come up with a desired end, and then they work backwards. And they fill in the dots, and they create the stories, and they fake all of it all the way back to where they are presently to create the trail to get to where they want to go. That they've been working on destroying Donald Trump at a congressional level by introducing legislation to remove him from ballots means they are singularly focused. The focus ain't on you. It's not on your community. Sure as hell ain't your kids. It's on one thing and one thing only. Listen to Jamie Raskin yesterday, moments after this decision.
I am working with a number of my colleagues, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell, to revive legislation that we had to set up a process by which we could determine that someone who committed insurrection is disqualified by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And the House of Representatives already impeached Donald Trump for participating in insurrection by inciting it. So the House has already pronounced upon that.
It's all wrong. Jamie, you know better. You're so disgusting. And you're shafting the people in your 8th Congressional District of Montgomery County who freaking need help. Crime in Montgomery County increases for a third year in a row. How about that track record, Jamie? What are you doing for your people? What is life like in your congressional district? How are you serving? You're not. You're stonewalling. You're slowing us down. You're focused on one thing. We want other stuff. Your constituents don't want to get shot in the middle of the street, Jamie. They don't want to be carjacked in broad daylight. Car thefts, carjackings, up 131% year to year. Mr. Raskin, what are you doing about that? You're not doing a damn thing. Because you've got one focus and it's tunnel. And what's coming down the road, that light that's coming, it is a train. And it will crash into you. Because we're tired of this. Stop destroying our country. Stop it with the delusion of insurrection. We've moved on. We want our January 6th political hostages freed. And by golly, they deserve something for their freaking suffering. That is what we need to be asking of our leaders. What are you doing to help the next generation? Are you closing their gifted programs because of your mismanagement? Because that seems very familiar. Focus or get out, Congressman. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know, there's proof. I got two big names. People who will not be saved. And we ought not try to do it. Mark Cuban, Mitt Romney, why they're connected next. You know, isn't it interesting as the clarity becomes more obvious, as we see more and more people see January 6th for what it was and all of this lawfare for what it is, the people who are actually off the cliff is so interesting. So who's off of the cliff? Well, I'll say Bob Costas. Do you guys listen to him? He's a total wacko. Keith Olbermann. How about this? This is what he tweeted yesterday. The Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. What? The Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. Its members, including Jackson Kagan and Sotomayor, have proved themselves inept at reading comprehension. And collectively, the court has shown itself to be corrupt and illegitimate. It must be dissolved. Oh, Keith, that's so ugly. Wah. You didn't get your way, and so now the court has to be dissolved. Isn't that interesting? This is crybaby schoolyard childishness. This is what we're up against. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't discriminate. Being stupid doesn't discriminate. In fact, here's Mark Cuban, very successful man, right? This is what he said. I'd vote for Joe Biden even if he was being given last rights. I mean, honest to goodness. There are people who will not be saved. If this is Mark Cuban's idea of what he believes democracy and fairness and justice and equity and opportunity and all of that is, jump off the cliff with everybody else, my man. Keith Olbermann's waiting for you. He's got his hand out. Bob Costas is ready to catch you, brother. Billionaire Mark Cuban said that he would vote for Joe Biden over Donald Trump, even if he were on his deathbed receiving last rites. I have to giggle, right? You have to take your bread and soak up the gravy. Speaking with Bloomberg News, the minority Dallas Mavericks owner said that he voted for Nikki Haley in the Texas Republican primary and will be backing Biden in the general election if he faces off against Trump. On the issue of Biden's age, Cuban said that would not faze him, even if he were in his final moments of life. Speaking about Biden, Biden's on life support. I'm voting for that guy. Mark Cuban says that's called Trump derangement syndrome. Does not discriminate. It affects people from all walks of life. Liberal chicks and this dude. If they were having his last wake and it was him versus Trump and he was being given last rites, I would still vote for Joe Biden, Cuban said, adding that his vote for Haley in the Super Tuesday primary would be a protest vote against Trump. Why, Mark? Why are you so hurt? What are you so upset about? And why is your boyfriend Mitt Romney joining you in the land of suck? How about this headline from the Epic Times? Romney admits Trump did many things a lot better than Biden, but still absolutely won't vote for him. Okay. Good luck, bro. You were irrelevant a long time ago. It was because of you that I switched from Republican to Libertarian, you hack. But here we go. Senator Mitt Romney said that former President Donald Trump made many wise decisions as president and can win in 2024, but the Utah Republican insisted he would, quote, absolutely not vote for him over President Joe Biden due to character and differences on foreign policy. What's wrong with Donald Trump's character? What has he done? Honestly, what has he done? Did he lie? Did he cheat? Did he steal? No. They did. Wah! In an appearance on CNN's The Source, whatever the hell that is, Mr. Romney said that if the election were held today, President Trump, quote, would probably win. Oh, and he didn't. He tried, and he failed. Because he sucked! He said that there are a lot of things President Trump has done better than President Biden, adding that Joe Biden has made extraordinary mistakes on the immigration front. It's embarrassing how bad he's been. He didn't elaborate, but his remarks come as the country is, you know what it is. Quote, and Donald Trump did a lot of smart things when he was president, Mr. Romney continued, adding that he's, quote, aligned with many of President Trump's domestic policies. But no, absolutely not. Is he going to vote for Donald Trump for president? Then you ought not be part of the Republican Party. Bye-bye. I'm sure the Democrats would love to have you, right? Please, you know who you can take with you? Lisa Murkowski. Why don't you take her along? How about Susan Collins? We can get rid of them. As much as I've liked John Kennedy, I'm ready to give him the boot as well. Lindsey Graham, he sucks. Take him along. In fact, we should just put it up for auction. We should let the American people, in an American Idol sort of thing, vote one if you'd like to gong so-and-so to the other side and stick them with the sock, right? I would vote for that. So here you have Mark Cuban, billionaire, knows obviously that Donald Trump's policies are better for business. They're better for the stock market. They're better for the supply chain. They're better for inflation. They're better for the deficit. They're better for everything. But I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. Okay. You do you. I don't know why it matters. I don't know why we have to know what these people are doing. But they're showing their true colors, ladies and gentlemen. And for that, we should rejoice. This is not a mystery. Paint by numbers is very clear. We're seeing the images here. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, right after this short break, you know, the media do now realize they have to correct course. They can't continue down this train forever because it's cost them billions and billions of dollars. They're in crisis mode. And you're going to start to hear them realize that. I've got proof. Very interesting sound. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, this is that uncomfortable time in the media's lifespan where they realize that they've sucked for so long and they might have crossed the point of no return. How long can you be lied to? How many headlines can be wrong? How many people, how many columnists, how many opinion editors, how many quote-unquote scholars and experts can be so woefully wrong before you lose last remaining shreds of credibility? And I think that the writing is definitely on the wall. I don't know how they didn't see this years ago. The best years for the media were 2016 until 2020. Why? Because Donald Trump was the president. And they made so much money off of Donald Trump, the president. And then everything went sideways. And now they're desperate. They've lost billions of dollars. They've lost like 80% of their viewership. I'm talking about your legacy television news outlets. The print media. How many of them are selling access? They can't make ends meet because Americans have Bud Lighted them. And they've been so wrong so freaking often. Just tell me the truth. Just tell me what happened. I don't need your opinion on it. Just be like, this is what happened. This is how it was voted on. Here's what somebody says and here's what they say. And you go decide. Remember that? Remember that how Catherine Herridge makes her news out there? Here you go. This is what I found. You interpret it as you wish, not my job. Thank you. Well, this is very interesting hearing these voices. David Chalian. This is where they start to Heisman in real fashion. Joe Biden. This is the distance. I'm blocking. I'm pushing you away. And David Chalian, their chief, whatever, national election guy of suck. He's going to basically say, oh my gosh, finally, Joe Biden is weak. No duh, David. Really? Listen.
Here's the difference. 4 years ago, we here at CNN did 12 polls matching up Biden and Trump throughout the entire 19 and 20 election season. Donald Trump was never numerically ahead of Joe Biden. That's not the case now. So Joe Biden enters with low approval ratings, historically low approval ratings, and he is doing so in a weaker position than no doubt his campaign would want to be at that point. I just think we're now getting to the season of a fully engaged campaign battle.
Yo, we've been fully engaged for years. I don't know where you've been, and I don't know where you're cooking up your numbers back there, David. There's Wolf sitting there, too. He's like, rah. He looks like that Sam Eagle on the Muppets. Rah. That face. So there you go. That's David Chalian on CNN. John King now on CNN. He's going to go from weak to too old. Biden, too old. Again, no duh. Go.
These are the numbers that are troubling for the president. Here's one from the new New York Times Siena College poll. Is President Biden too old to be an effective president?
Yeah.
Among all voters, 73% say yes, 25% say no. Here's the troubling part. Even in his own party, the president needs big Democratic turnout in the fall. More than half, 56% of Democrats say they think he's too old to be an effective president. 43% say no. So that is one challenge for the president as he runs out the primary season, as he gives that big speech Thursday night. Address that. The problems are deeper for the president. Again, he is the incumbent president. 24% of Americans say the country's on the right track. Two-thirds. Say it is not. 65% say the country is on the wrong track as the president prepares to deliver his State of the Union address. One more, incumbents are often judged by their approval rating. You start to get 8 months out from an election, that's a problem. That's the number the president has to change. 36% approve of his performance right now in office, 61% disapprove. That means a lot of Democrats.
Holy cow. So let me get this straight. So he's too old, he's weak, his policies suck, and people don't like him. This is a shocker. John King, I know this is news for you, my brother, but we've been saying this for years now. Let's bounce back to David Chalian, and still sticking with CNN, and he's going to say, look, what's going on? These key groups of people who we've used and abused like chess pieces, we've lied to these people for generations. They're waking up and they realize we suck. Oh, no. Go.
These latest poll numbers are not necessarily showing a lot of good news for the current president.
No, it's showing a similar story that we've been seeing over the course of the last year. He is losing ground with some key constituencies. Take a look on the screen here. You can see the New York Times poll there on the left compared to the 2020 exit polls. Now, one is a poll and one is voters coming out of the voting booth telling us what they did. But nonetheless, those under 30, Biden has a 12-point advantage in this poll. Well, it was twice that in the 2020 election. Among female voters, Biden is tied with Trump in this New York Times poll this weekend. He had a 15-point advantage. You see with black voters, he's got a 43-point advantage. That's substantial, except in the 2020 election, it was a 75-point advantage. And then if you look at non-white voters without a college degree, you see he's got a 6-point advantage over Trump, but that was a 46-point advantage in 2020.
This is so weird, David. It's almost like you're paying attention. What? The disconnect is breathtaking. There is no critical thought anymore. It's all the same. It's follow the leader. It's be outraged. Not let's focus on things that can affect change. That's what making America great again is. That's what that stands for. It's not some fringe, wacko sect of people. I mean, if loving America makes me fringe, guilty as charged. Whatever. I'm down with that. Even the New York Times is admitting it now. Plurality say Donald Trump's policies helped them. Joe Biden's hurt them. I want to choke somebody. I want to shake them. It's not enough to just, you know, go for the throat. I want to take people by the shoulders. And I want to go like that. I want to shake them and be like, where have you been? What happened to you? What happened to your independent thought? What happened to your common sense? What happened to your ability to discern when you're being conned? And what are you going to do to stop being played again in the future? Because that's all this is. It's a game. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think America's a game. Period. Former President Donald Trump's policies are more beneficial to voters across a swath of demographics than policies put forth by President Joe Biden. Again, really? Really? The poll asked 823 registered voters. This is that New York Times Siena College poll. This poll is not statistically significant, right? It's 823 people. It's not, it's nothing that's like earth shattering, but it's the moment that all of a sudden your mainstream media have to start telling the truth. That for the last 7 years, all they've done is told us what a bad person he is. What a terrible person Donald Trump is. From Charlottesville, right? To January 6th, all of it terrible. And you and I have just kind of been looking around saying, I don't know, kind of like my life. Things are affordable. I don't feel I'm in danger. When Donald Trump was president, my Pittsburgh police precinct didn't announce that they were going to go on ghosting overnight. Nobody's going to be there to staff the precincts because that's a great idea. Well, you know, we've got budget cuts. Well, why is that? Because you people suck on the left. Police are racist. We need to defund them. Could we not connect the dots years ago? Yeah, that's right. We did. And we got banned from YouTube, right? Did we not say, I don't know. I'm feeling a little uncomfortable with the government swooping in and telling me what I need to do and what I need to do for my kids in terms of medicine. Makes me a little uncomfortable. Banned off another platform. Okay. How do you like us now? The poll asked 823 registered voter respondents whether both Trump and Biden's policies have helped or hurt them personally. Plurality of 43% of voters said that Biden's policies have hurt them, whereas just 18% of Biden's policies said Biden's policies helped them. Who the hell is helped by Joe Biden's policies? Who? Cartel members? Are the cartels now voting in our polls? Right? Excuse me, amigo, can you take my poll? Yes, let me just put these people aside. We're running drugs and humans. Hold on, please. Right? Well, who are you guys polling? The human traffickers? There is nothing going on today that is preferential, that is better, that is more just, that is more fair, that is more equitable than anything we experienced 4 years ago. And that's not refutable. So when you don't have facts, and then you've got these pesky polls that show you, oh, crap, your guy sucks and everybody knows it. The black voters know it. The voters who have not gone to college, do not have degrees, they know it. And then there's this wild thing going on in high schools with boys leaning to the right. Oh, no. It's so obvious you are losing in the facts. So what does the left do? Goes for emotion. Oh, but Joe Biden, he's a well-meaning elderly guy. So he's a little forgetful and stuff. He's a good guy. He's a good dad. Really? Listen to the governor of Colorado, hacky, Jared Polis. He's going to give you the last gasp for Joe Biden. He's such a good guy. I know him. He just, he loves his family and he just wants what's best for them. And if that's not working, well, you remember his wife and daughter were killed in that terrible accident. That's not working. And his son got into drugs and all that. And that's not working. Well, he lost his other son, he says, in Afghanistan, but it was from his brain. Here's Jared Polis, last ditch effort. Listen.
Look, the president is terrific. I mean, he's the same guy he always was. I got to know him when he was vice president. You know, was just a wonderful, thoughtful person, always shows that empathy and warmth. And he surrounds himself with a great team that I think is doing well with record low unemployment. And I think inflation's on its way down. And those fundamentals will help his reelection.
So this is the sound. Boo! That is Jared Polis's nose growing. He's just a terrific guy. I mean, I know he enriched himself to the tune of $20 to $30 million and all that stuff. And then there was the drugs and the gun and the diamonds and all. I mean, other than that, he's a swell guy. And everybody knows it. Come on, Jared. Come on, man. So there you go. Fake news, I want you to meet justice. I love when these, it's like when peanut butter and chocolate, right? Now you're talking to me. Now you got my number. I want to talk about this Tony Bobulinski, a Biden family insider, was their business partner. Why is he suing now, going after one of the January 6th Commission's key star witnesses? Oh, Cassidy. Say it ain't so. Next. So I love this story. I found it on The Federalist. Tony Bobulinski sues January 6th show trial star Cassidy Hutchinson for defamation. Now, we've talked to you guys about Cassidy Hutchinson. She was that star witness who claimed that she knows Donald Trump lunged for the steering wheel on January 6th. He demanded that the Secret Service and the Beast drive him in the presidential limo over to the Capitol. And he reached for him, which was so dumb. And then what do we know later? Oh, yeah, that's right. Weeks later, when people were done talking about the January 6th committee of suck, she went in through the back door and amended her official testimony. It's not that she got a date wrong. She got everything wrong. Yeah, I really didn't mean to say that. And she, in huge fashion, changed everything that she said. It's almost like she lied. Huh, so weird. So now Tony Bobulinski, who was part of the Biden crime family syndicate, right? He was the guy who blew the whistle big time. He says, look, I'm going to sue this lady because she's totally lying still. And she's lying about me in her stupid book, which was a New York Times bestseller. You guys believe that? Of course not. Here you go. I want you to hear this. Biden family whistleblower Tony Bobulinski sued for defamation Democrats' star witness in the January 6th committee's show trials. Cassidy Hutchinson, a former aide to Donald Trump, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, famously testified 2 years ago, God, I can't believe it's been that long, that President Trump tried to violently hijack a security limousine and drive himself to the Capitol on January 6th. All of the headlines were out there. You guys saw all of the headlines. Every single media outlet. Where were all the fact checkers? Checking the fake news, because that was BS incarnate. And they ran with it. These are the same news outlets that are like, wait, what? We might be on the chopping block because our revenues suck? Yeah. The sources she cited at the hearing almost immediately went on record to contradict her sworn testimony. Legacy networks NBC, CBS, and CNN reported Hutchinson's sources were prepared to go under oath to testify that her claims were false. Why is she allowed to lie while January 6th defendants are still in the gulag? How does that make sense to you? Oh, that's right, because this is Joe Biden's America. Now Hutchinson is being sued for malicious conduct by Tony Bobulinski. He claims the former White House aide fabricated details about meetings between him and Meadows in her memoir released last September called Enough. I'll say. Hutchinson, the lawsuit reads, cashed in on her brief proximity to President Trump to become the star witness of and in collaboration with the January 6th committee and profited from politically left-wing business ventures. What? In one of her business ventures, defendant released a book in which she defamed Mr. Bobulinski and painted him in a false light. The lawsuit continues. Defendant did so, in part, by lying about a meeting between Mr. Bobulinski and Mark Meadows, dishonestly portraying it to be unethical and possibly illegal. The lawsuit specifically highlighted this dramatic excerpt from the book. Again, remember, you guys aren't allowed to ask questions about your elections. You're not allowed to go to the Capitol on January 6th and look for a redress. Look for your state, your representatives to listen to your grievances, which is one of your constitutionally protected rights, right? You're not allowed to do that lest you be imprisoned, right? But Cassidy Hutchinson can lie in a stupid book, and you're supposed to believe that so many people went out and bought it. It's a New York Times bestseller. Right. This is the excerpt. Dramatic. In the shadows of the bleachers. This is Cassidy Hutchinson allegedly writing this. In the shadows of the bleachers, I observed Mark and Tony Bobulinski's interaction through a gap in the vehicles. When they said their goodbyes, I saw Mark hand Tony what appeared to be a folded sheet of paper or a small envelope. Mark walked toward me, staring at the ground. He was silent for several moments as we made our way back to the staff holding area. You and I, we've seen a lot together, done a lot together, Mark said, his head still tilted toward the ground. I cleared my throat. Yes, Mark. We have. He abruptly stopped walking and stuck his arm out to stop me. Our eyes locked. Oh, don't look so frightened. He dropped his arm. I just want to thank you for working so hard. It's quite difficult to find someone as loyal as you. He flashed a smile, the kind of smile that doesn't change the shape of your eyes. He disappeared around the corner, his Secret Service agents trailing him. What? This is what she's putting out there as a New York Times bestseller? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. And she remembers verbatim conversations? Really? And she remembers the shape of his eyes. And it was a folded piece of paper. And all of this. No, you just need to know this. Tony Bobulinski's fighting back. The tide is turning. We are pushing back against the sock. We are tired of being lied to. We are tired of being lied about. We are tired of people with zero integrity putting on lapel pins that purport otherwise as they put their hand on the Bible and raise their other in an oath and lie summarily to our faces day after day, year after year, where hundreds of January 6th defendants, who some weren't even in D.C. on January 6th, will spend decades in prison. Really? You know what I say about Pennsylvania, right? I say it's the land before time. And I'm sure if you're not from here, you're like, I don't understand what she means. Oh, you will. You will after I talk to you about this next article. Oh, boy. So much for the safest, most secure election ever. Hour number 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio program on tap next.